Lord Jesus, we thank you for our brother David. We thank you for him being in this fellowship, Lord, and what he brings, what you bring to us through him. And I pray that you would bring your special word for this moment through him now, Lord. I pray that he would know your peace and your anointing as he shares your word with us now. Give us open hearts to hear what you have to say.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it seems strange for me to be standing here giving a message to you today. I'm going to be speaking about revival and about getting right with God. I originally gave this message to the Prayer for Revival in the Borderlands back in February. And since then, it's actually been shared with other groups, etc. And it was actually then asked to share it with the church. So, where do we all start then? Well, I'm going back to being born in Edinburgh. I was baptised in the Church of Scotland. I didn't attend church as a child. As an adult down south, I occasionally went to church, but it wasn't really important to me. Certainly not until I was 40 years old. And at that time, I'd been going through some tough times, and some friends had drew alongside me. They supported me, and through their love for me, they led me to Christ.
Hallelujah.
My life started to turn around, and later I was confirmed in the Anglican Church. And around that time, Avril had given her life to Christ. And having met each other on an Alpha course, our paths were destined to come together through what we might call God incidences. And as some would say, you know, the rest is history. I tell you this because whilst we were both searching, without somebody drawing alongside each of us and guiding us towards Christ, we may never have become committed Christians. And those people, I believe, were well grounded. They were committed Christians. They were grounded in their faith. They were members of churches that had seen their own revivals and were empowered by the Holy Spirit to draw us closer to Christ. So, what is revival? Well, I searched that on the internet, and this definition from Spurgeon.org came up. It's clear that the term revival can only be applied to a living soul or to one that once lived. To be revived is a blessing which can only be enjoyed by those who have some degree of life. Those who have no spiritual life are not and cannot be, in the strictest sense of the term, the subjects of revival. People who are not living, as in living in Christ, cannot be revived. This does not, however, stop them from being affected by the revival of others and the church, which may influence them and so bring them into a living relationship with Christ. So here are 10 indications that we need a revival. When sin is the pattern of our lives, when we accommodate broken relationships, when we no longer receive the word of God with joy and expectancy, when prayer and worship become rituals and chores, when we do not grieve for those who do not know Christ, when we love the world more than we love Jesus, when we are no longer in fear of God, when we no longer view God as our only hope, when we must be sold or entertained for worship to be meaningful, when professionalism has replaced reliance on the Holy Spirit. In preparing for the sharing that I was doing for the Prayer for Revival, I came across a book on my bookshelf called Tears of Revival. And it's about mass repentance that led to spiritual awakening at Wheaton College in Illinois and beyond that place. So during the week beginning on the 19th of March 1995, students from the Howard Payne University were invited by the World Christian Fellowship to share about revival in Wheaton College. During the next 5 days, over 1,000 students publicly confessed their sins and were prayed for in the power of the Holy Spirit. The students then went on to share their own testimonies with over 100 churches and another 100 universities, bringing further revival to those places. And the book contains 18 powerful testimonies from students, and there were a few recurring themes. And these were initial skepticism, struggles with motivations, gnawing a conviction of sin, doubts about a public confession, the prevalence of sexual sin, desire for reconciliation, hunger for scripture, surprise at the power of prayer, insights into God's view of sin, steps of action for lasting change, a desire for accountability, and motivation to share with others. Well, we are all part of the body of Christ, and the church cannot be revived unless we are individually revived. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to publicly confess our sins here. However, I know that I'm a sinner, and as someone with an Anglican background, because this is the season of Lent, I might suggest that this is a time for me, for perhaps for each of us, to get closer and to get right with God. We can do this by spending time reading scripture, and praying, confessing our sins, and seeking forgiveness where we have fallen short in our lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Don't we all want this to happen?
Yes.
Well, these are three of the challenges that the church faces today. And the first is that we can't experience a new move of God if we insist on clinging to the old one. God's purpose in all his ways is to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. The word revival doesn't simply mean awakening something that's asleep. It also means resurrecting that which is dead or dying and causing it to come to life again. And the second, we fear excess, so we embrace mediocrity, and we call it balance. People aren't drawn to us because of our similarities, but because of the things that make us unique. When it comes to our faith and our testimony, we mustn't downplay or soft pedal or sidestep the very things that God has given to us that makes us distinctive. If we do, people will be disappointed and they'll go elsewhere. The disciples didn't blend into the crowd. Their message and the demonstration of its power made them stand out. And the third, we need to make room in the church for risk takers and faith walkers. In John 2, verse 5, where the first miracle, Jesus' words, changing water into wine, Mary told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Our need to be liked and to be popular can lead to a religious spirit that cripples risk-taking and faith-walking. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus promised, "But you will receive power where the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when God tells us to do church differently, let's not be afraid to step out and to obey him.
Amen.
When Avro and I moved to Carlisle, we searched locally for a church. Not one of the first Sundays that we were here, my heart leapt. And that was when Tom spoke about the vision for prayer for revival in the borderlands. And then a few weeks later, Alex spoke about the vision for Baby Basics in Carlisle. It just felt right that we were here. So summing up, we need to pray for our own personal revival, and the revival for our own and for other churches, particularly for its leaders and for its own members. Only when the church has seen revival will it be in a good place to witness to those who are not presently saved. And as Keith shared recently, we need to get our churches ready so that they can deal with and minister to those who come to seek the Lord. And as a final comment, I just want to share that having originally given a message to the prayer for revival, 2 days later I went to London to see my football team. Now, normally when I go down to London, I go to a museum or an art gallery or something. Now, when I got to Euston, I didn't actually know what I was going to do. I then thought, well, I think I'll go to the National Gallery because I was just coming to the start of Lent. I thought I'd go and see some religious paintings and it'll just get me into the zone, if you like. So I made my way to the Northern Line tube station. On my way, a man asked me for directions to the platform and I was able to help him. Then I came across the same man, actually, on the tube train. And I felt that I needed to engage with him. So I asked where he was going. And he told me that he was an evangelist. Yeah, he said that he was going to Covent Garden to meet a friend. He was going to preach the gospel on the street. Well, I explained that I was a Christian and was involved with the prayer for the borderlands. And it was amazing because we started praying for each other on the tube, standing there in front of everybody. And we just prayed that, you know, that the Holy Spirit would come and that many people would give their lives to Jesus. Now, I don't know how Rob got on that day, but certainly I felt God's presence. And my trip to that, the National Gallery, was even more special. Now, that's what I would call a God incident.
Yeah.
And possibly wouldn't have happened had neither of us stepped out in our own faith. So, if you ever feel that God is calling you to listen, then act on how you feel you're being led, and God will honor your faith.